It seems like most people think, well, I didn't get that bullseye, so yeah. I don't have Lyme disease, but you just don't know.
No, so. You don't. And the key is to, like I was saying, to be proactive, but not mm-hmm. just to spray yourself mm-hmm. or not just to do tick checks. You have to do the whole package.
Right. Hey there, thanks for tuning in to episode 30 of the Maritime Outdoorsman podcast. And in this episode, I met with Lisa of Atlantic, that's T-I-C-K, who came up with the idea for a tick repellent, a natural tick repellent. They're actually not located very far from where I live, so it worked out quite well. And actually, we ended up meeting shortly before the all the chaos from the COVID-19 virus started up. So we're in those crazy times right now when I'm recording this, self-isolation and all that stuff. So just so you know, I did meet up with Lisa before the self-isolation suggestions came in from the government. But yeah, crazy days for sure. And I just wanted to get this episode out because I think the timing is critical. While we are recommended to self-isolate and stay in our homes, I know many of you will likely be out, you know, walking your dog or getting out, getting some fresh air as long as you're staying away from the crowds. So, you know, I wanted to get this episode out because I am very concerned, especially in this part of Nova Scotia down here on the South Shore, but really it affects just about everywhere in the Maritimes and all over North America. The tick epidemic, Lyme disease and other bacterial infections are on the rise, as are the number of ticks that can infect you. You might know if you've listened to my show for very long, I've done several other episodes talking about the dangers of ticks and Lyme disease, and it is something that while I have not contracted it myself or anyone in my immediate family, we have had scares, and we do know a lot of people who are battling Lyme disease right now. So definitely, if you are outside enjoying the great outdoors, be very aware of your surroundings and do tick checks regularly. So I just want to jump right into the conversation that I had with Lisa from Atlantic. So hope you enjoy this episode and stay safe. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
Great. Hi.
Yeah. So I've known of your product for at least a few years and been an active user. Maybe just give us a little rundown. I see you're in a little warehouse here now, but I understand it wasn't always that way. So
yeah.
How did this, you know, where did this come from?
Well, Atlantic was born basically when my kids got Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. And after seeing how awful that could be, I didn't want to put DEET on them or any other synthetic chemical, but I also didn't want to just put a random spray that hadn't been studied and tested on them as well, because Lyme is a very serious disease. And I couldn't find anything out there. There's no registered tick sprays with all natural tick sprays on the Canadian market. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing my own research and just reading the synopsis of scientific studies. And from that, I created my own formula. And I started it all in my kitchen, and then I went to Acadia and paired up with them, and we've since broken down the formula, recreated the formula, and we're now in the process of registering it. Mm. So the current formula we do sell is our outdoor spray. It's not our actual tick spray that we're registering with, because our actual tick spray is 97.5% effective.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll get that out to the Canadian public in 2021.
Mm.
But in the meantime, we've gone from my kitchen down to my basement, and then we quickly grew out of that, and now we have a warehouse and a couple offices.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, when I came around back of the building, I was like, wow, this is getting big, right?
Yeah.
So both of your sons contracted Lyme disease. I mean, the area that we live in down here on the South Shore is a, you know, it's a hotbed, obviously. Yeah. It's really been frustrating for me and my family too, because we like to be outside and we really don't want any kind of annoyance. But yeah, so were they just playing outside or?
You know, we didn't, I don't even know when or how they were bitten. It just started with swelling knees and swelling ankles. Mm. And then as we, and I didn't know, I was new to the area, so I really didn't know a whole lot about it. I'd heard about it.
Right.
But it was one of those things where you go, oh yeah, you know, it's not going to happen to me type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we took them to the hospital and kept getting sent home, it got to the point where my oldest couldn't walk anymore.
Yeah.
So for a period of time, movement of his legs was just excruciating for him, and he had to use a walker.
Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. And then when you see your child go through that, especially when they're young, and it's like, you know, you feel guilty because it's like, oh my God, I should have done something I didn't realize, but I truly didn't know.
Right.
So that was another motivation. It was, wow, we need to let people know how serious this can be.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's not just about seeing a tick, getting the bullseye, getting flu-like symptoms, because there's Lyme arthritis, there's Lyme dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Because it comes in so many different forms, it's really difficult to diagnose, super easy to misdiagnose.
Mm.
So it's, and we're now in the last 5 years, I've noticed we're seeing a lot more information online about it. We're seeing a lot more cases. And of course, when it hits somebody who's a superstar, you know,
like people, Avril Lavigne and
Justin Bieber, Shania Twain, people really start to take notice as well. It's unfortunate, but it's also a good thing because now the word is getting out there.
The awareness. So how did you, you know, I'm guessing you got mad and you decided that, you know, there has to be something that will deter these little buggers from trying to crawl on us. And then did you just start researching your own, you know, the ingredients?
Yeah. Now I didn't. To be clear, it wasn't that I was just hopping on DIY sites because once again, while it may work, there was nothing showing me it worked other than it works on my friends and family or, you know, so that's why I got into reading the studies, because there's been a lot of studies in other countries about ticks and essential oils.
Right.
And not just ticks, of course, but I was specifically honing in on the studies about ticks and essential oils. And the interesting thing is that when I did end up getting paired up with the Katy University, I'm now working very closely with Dr. Nicoletta Ferroni and Dr. Kirk Hillier. Dr. Nicoletta Ferroni had just moved there 3 months prior to me meeting her. So she had her, she was a scientist with all of her background, but she also happened to have a background and a strong interest in essential oils and insects.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty amazing how that worked out. I get now why, though, because at the time I was thinking, why isn't there a natural product on the Canadian market? Why are there only basically two registered mosquito natural sprays on the market?
Right.
I understand now, because as I started doing it, I realized it is extremely daunting. It's very difficult. There's a lot of red tape. It's a lot of money. And you know, I don't come from money, so what we've done in the meantime is through our sales, it goes right back into research.
Right.
And because the goal is, I had some people say, well, Lisa, why don't you just sell it? Leave it as an outdoor spray.
Right.
You'll make lots of money. You'll be fine, you know, in the long run. But that's truly not what it's about.
Right.
Once we do start actually making money, that's fantastic. Great. But we really want to get this on the market. And oh my God, there's been many roadblocks. There's been many things of what the heck am I doing, you know? But you, at the end of the day, the goal is to be the first natural registered tick spray on the Canadian market.
Excellent. And you're headed that way.
We're headed that way.
That's awesome.
And we're really trying to get the word out there too, because people need to know that there is an alternative and it's studied, tested, and proven.
So what's the process to go from just an outdoor spray to, I guess, is it an actual repellent?
Yeah, registered tick repellent.
Right. So how does that
There's just pages and pages of mm-hmm. forms you have to fill out. And mm-hmm. when I first saw it, so this is how it happened. I didn't even know you had to register it like this because right. there's so many outdoor sprays on the market. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd just be one of them. But if somebody calls Health Canada, which is what happened to me, somebody called and said, hey, this person is selling a tick repellent mm-hmm. and not registered. So right. Health Canada comes knocking on my door and I'm thinking, I didn't understand. I'm like, I don't understand. There's a lot of these sprays. Yep. But nobody called on them. They called on you. So now you have to shut her down or register.
Really?
Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll register. What do mm-hmm. I need to do? And he's mm-hmm. like, do you have a scientist on staff? And I'm standing at my front door. My husband and I are in the kitchen making this. No scientist on staff. No one on staff. But so basically, and I understand why, because he left and I'm thinking, no problem. And I go online, I see all the forms and I'm going, oh my Lord. Because before I could read the synopsis of right. the scientific studies. Right. Now I'm in the thick of it and I'm not understanding it because it really is a scientific language that I'm reading. Mm-hmm. So this is why, I mean, it was a long process to get hooked up with Acadia, mm-hmm. but I was determined because I just didn't want to stop. So I literally went around to my home base, such a wonderful business type community. And I was just saying, hey, do you know anyone that I can, you know, go to for guidance, right. anything just to get me past that next step. And I did end up hooking up with Leanne Strathy from Acadia Entrepreneurship,
okay. yeah.
who then hooked me up with she didn't know what to do either. Mm. So she got a whole bunch of different people from different organizations together. I presented my case in front of them. And one of those people just happened to know Kirk Killier and Nicoletta. Mm. She hooked me up with them and she's been working with us, Lee from Houston from ICE. Mm-hmm. And so she made that connection, has been working with us as well ever since and helping us out. So that's what started the process. Mm-hmm. And then as we got into it and dove deeper into it, we realized, hey, 80, 85% effective is not good enough for right. Health Canada.
Right.
We've got to make this, I believe it's over 95% effective.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. That's when we broke down the compounds, figured out, we tested exactly. We ship ticks in from states.
Oh yeah.
Yes, because when you in that environment, you have to make sure they don't have Lyme,
right,
or any other kind of disease, because right. they carry a lot more diseases than just Lyme.
Right.
And so these were ticks that were bred in a lab and all that. So we brought those guys in. We stuck little electrodes to the ticks' brains, which
no
is
way.
Crazy because they're so it tiny. Is. And we measured, you know, the brain activity with scent and all that. And then from all that information, we kind of, we rebuilt the 97.5% effective
Excellent.
Spray. So we've since done those tests. So we know how the effectiveness is, but now there's other tests you have to do. Toxicity tests, methanol testing, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So we're in the process of going through mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. As much as we can get done in Canada, we are getting done, but some of it has to be done in the U.S.
right,
as well.
Right.
So
yeah, that's amazing. I can't, yeah.
It's
can't
a
imagine.
Process. And I remember maybe even a year ago, I'm like, holy crap, I can't stop now.
No,
I gotta keep
too
going.
Deep.
Yeah.
That's incredible. No, I love hearing these stories about, you know, you started in your kitchen and
yeah.
it's like a dragon's den or shark tank kind of
yeah.
thing. You don't need the sharks, I don't think. But you think possibly next year sometime you might achieve that? That's really cool.
So
that open up a whole new
Open up. Yeah, we'll be attacking the whole Canadian market then because it's not just Nova Scotia is probably Nova Scotia and Ontario
right.
are probably the worst.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's in BC. We've got maps. It's all over Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we revisit the maps and you can just see it growing.
Spreading
like crazy. And if you look at the U.S., they're ahead of us in the sense of they've had the ticks a lot longer than we have, because that's where it kind of
right.
migrated from.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so much thicker down there, and the problems are so much more intense. So it's kind of, for us, it's beneficial because we can kind of look at what they're doing, what they've done,
right.
how they're dealing with it, and kind of start mimicking that.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
And I do want to say, too, that one of the most important things is that it's not just about being, first of all, being proactive. That's the key.
Right.
It's a lot easier to deal with, be proactive, than to deal with Lyme.
Mm-hmm.
There's many other diseases the ticks carry other than Lyme that are very similar to it. So it's so easy to get tested and the mm-hmm. tests come back and say, no, you don't have Lyme, but you might have something else.
Right.
Right? But yeah. our testing is so limited here,
right.
and it's not 100% accurate. It's only, I believe, 48% accurate. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to get a false negative.
Mm-hmm.
But
is this the testing, like if you went to the doctor?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, the Western blot and the, okay. yeah, ELISA.
Because I know, do you know Bette Lloyd?
Yes, yeah, really well,
yeah.
yes.
So Bette's been on the show.
Oh, awesome.
Once, possibly twice, but once for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we've encouraged listeners that they can actually send their ticks to her
yes.
and her lab. And we've done that with a couple ticks that we've pulled off of our boys and you know, anxiously awaited their results. And thankfully, you know, didn't come back Lyme, but, you know, still
oh,
be
good.
Cautious of, you know, whatever else they can carry.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, you know, it seems like most people think, well, I didn't get that bullseye, so
yeah.
I don't have Lyme disease. But
you
just don't know.
No, so. You don't. And the key is to, like I was saying, to be proactive, but not mm-hmm. just to spray yourself
mm-hmm.
or not just to do tick checks. You have yeah. to do the whole package.
Right.
You got to do try to stay off the low,
yeah.
you know, just try to stick to that path.
Absolutely.
When you have a dog, that's really
yeah.
difficult to do, but
yeah.
Try to stick to the path. You know, you see people saying, oh, roll your socks up over your pants.
Mm.
Okay, but on a hot summer's day,
yeah, you're not going to be doing
you're
that.
Probably not wearing pants.
That's right.
So, but always do your tick checks, mm-hmm. spray yourself with whatever you're comfortable spraying yourself with. And just be aware of it because, and then if you have a dog, here's another good
yeah.
tip that goes off path a lot, which we do.
Right.
You just take one of those little sticky lint rollers.
Oh yeah.
Rub the dog every now and
Great
again on the
idea.
Path. Rub him when he comes in from peeing from outdoors.
Yeah.
Give him a quick going over.
Yeah.
Because those ticks, if they're on him, are probably just crawling around right now
I've
trying to find
it.
Somewhere.
We
yeah.
don't have a dog, but we take my in-law's dog for a walk once in a while, and sure enough. Even late last fall, we were like, you know, keep pulling on it, stay on the path.
yeah.
And, you know, just in those little pieces of grass on the side. And sure enough, I'm like, I could just see. And it was one of the really small ones. And
yeah.
yeah, so we're like, no. It's unfortunate because it just sucks so much of the fun out of being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. We've got about a good 5 years of testing planned with
nice.
Acadia, and that's to learn more about ticks because there's so much we don't know,
right.
and we really want to learn about how ticks work, how they react to scent, and then we'll learn. We're also doing studies on how when you spray that on your body, how can we make that last longer?
Right.
You know, because
right.
with natural sprays, people always say, well, how long does it work?
Right.
And it's like,
yeah.
well, that really depends on you because mm-hmm. it's like with DEET too. So if you spray yourself and ticks are all about smell. They don't have eyes.
Right.
They only smell. So they'll smell you coming, your dog coming, an animal coming, whatever. They don't jump, they don't drop, they latch.
Yeah.
So when you brush by them, they'll latch onto you if you smell good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you smell like something they don't like, they're just going to wait for the next person or animal.
Yeah.
And so it's all about scent for them. So that's really the key to it, to figuring out exactly what scents work and how long you can make it last.
Right.
Because as you sweat, your natural scent starts to come out again.
Right.
So if you're a big sweater,
yeah.
you might need to spray more often.
Mm.
If you're not, then it might last longer on you. And then I'll get some people who say, well, I mean, a lot of people, they'll say, oh, it's great. And then other people will say, well, geez, it didn't work on my dog, or it didn't work. Well, your dog might have a certain scent. So I say to people, do you attract mosquitoes?
Right.
Because if you're that person who attracts mosquitoes,
right.
you're the one who needs to apply more often.
And it makes sense because there usually is somebody out of the group that's...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's a lot worse that way.
Yeah. So that means their scent is more attractive to the insects.
So in studies, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about studies or results or anything, but like are all different kinds of ticks reacting similarly to scents, or is it, you know, does it vary between the different species of ticks?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. From the studies that I've read, it seems to be that they all react the same. Mm. We only study, we only use black-legged ticks,
right,
or deer ticks, because those are the ones that carry the most disease.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they're the worst. Yeah. They're the tiniest, everything. Mm-hmm. So now I did have someone tell me that his wife did get Lyme disease from a wood tick. Now I haven't heard of that before, but right, I also don't doubt it either, because right, we don't know enough.
Sure.
We really don't. No. So it's people like Dr. Vet Lloyd, mm-hmm, you know, who are studying and right, learning more about it. And yeah, then our scientists at Acadia and all this. Guelph has a big thing going on where they're doing a lot of studying at Guelph University.
Right.
So it's really great to see. Things seem to be so slow to change, though, because and I think maybe that's just human nature or how our system works. But 3 years ago, I mean, when my boys got Lyme disease, it was, for my second one, it was a bit of a challenge to get a requisition for the Lyme test. Mm. And I pretty much just had to say, well, I'm not leaving here until I get one.
Right.
Because you did this with my last son, and he was misdiagnosed for a period of time.
Right.
And they give it to, and he gave it to me, and he's rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
But sure enough. There it was. It was Lyme.
Yeah.
But they seem to be a little better about it in the South Shore area now for getting people tested, for taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. I think maybe their concern was that people are going to overreact or whatever. And sure, that might happen.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cases being missed.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, so it's better to be on top of it than...
It's exponential down here. I know we encountered a similar response, and we went to Lunenburg, the hospital in Lunenburg, and the doctor that just happened to be on duty, he had Lyme disease himself, so he was like, we're going to prescribe him the antibiotics just to be sure. I mean, you know, nobody really wants to take antibiotics or pump their kids full of it if they don't need it, but better be safe than sorry when it comes to Lyme disease.
Well, that's absolutely, because when my first one, Darian, he's the one who had the Lyme arthritis really bad, and when I took him to the rheumatologist, because they thought it might be juvenile arthritis.
Right.
And again, sure, it could be, but you know, but I knew it wasn't after I read more about Lyme and the symptoms of Lyme arthritis, so I knew it wasn't juvenile arthritis. Yeah. So when I went to that doctor, I said, she said, okay, let's test him. I said, okay, great, but let's put him on antibiotics today.
Yeah.
And I said, worst case scenario, I've put my son on antibiotics and for a couple of weeks until we get the results back.
Right. And he felt quite a bit better.
Oh my God.
Yeah. In like probably 3 or 4 days.
Absolutely. Like he could walk, he could go to school and you know.
No, that's.
Because he was in junior high, I believe, at the time, grade 6 or 7. And there was no way he was going to school with a walker.
No.
There was no way.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's...
He was pretty devastated, especially at that age, so... Mm.
But they're doing well now?
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing well now. Thank goodness. Knock on wood. Yeah. So it seems to be okay.
Yeah.
But if you, like, hear, and as I'm sure you experience too, I mean, you could go knock on your neighbor's door, and I bet you someone in their family or a friend of theirs have had Lyme.
Absolutely. I know my youngest son, there's at least one of his classmates already in his class that we know. He's had it, I think, a year ago or something like that. So it's...
And when you have a school where the kids are playing outdoors all the time, and the schools now are all scent free, so I was sending the spray to the school with the boys.
Good point.
But then they were like, we can't use it, Mom. It's a scent free school. So it's
then
like,
what?
Well, and they've had ticks on them.
Huh.
And they've had to get them taken off, especially my oldest seems to really attract them.
He's a magnet, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get a call from school. Too. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you go there. And another really, really important thing is that when a tick is on a child and you're a teacher and you yank that tick off,
right,
it's detrimental to take that tick off properly.
Right.
And I went to the boys' school and I gave a little presentation, and I would love to go to every school.
That's a good idea.
Because, and I've tried to reach out to the school board and to the schools and try to get and say, listen, you really, because, okay, fine, you can't put anything on them because it's a scent-free school, but let's make sure we remove them properly.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we have things in have a lint roller on hand, especially those little ones who are rolling down the hill.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God, they look so cute, but I'm just having a heart attack as I watch them roll down the hill.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't think about it so much because our playground in town is rock.
Yeah, but, that's right. Yeah.
Or fake turf.
Thank goodness, in a way.
In a little bit, yeah. So, but. You know, like all the other schools, Newcombville, all these ones, it's just grass fields and stuff that they play in.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
I've tried to give away my tick kits to the schools.
Yeah.
No response.
Really?
It's really difficult to know who it is. And I've been trying to figure out who to talk to, and I can't seem to get a response, but I'm happy to give away tick kits to the schools.
Yeah.
I joke because I say, don't throw the ticks in the toilet. They're coming out the other side and doing the back crawl to the shore.
Oh,
because those things are resilient.
They are unbelievable. I mean, I remember when I was really young, my grandfather, we were down visiting. This is down Digby way. And he had this thing on his back was bugging him. It was like a sore or something, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And my father was like, he was looking at it. He's looking at it. He's like, that thing's got legs. Like, it was fully engorged, deep in, right?
Gross, yeah.
And so I remember this vividly because, I mean, ticks weren't even as big of an issue back then. And they got it off. I believe the wrong way with a lighter or something.
Yeah, another bad thing.
They got it out.
Yeah.
They put a pin through it on a board.
Right.
And for days, the thing just like spun around on the pin. So then they put like glue on top of it, and like it was amazing.
Oh, it's unreal.
How tough those things are. So yeah, flushing it or better yet, you know, you're pulling it off and throwing it on the ground, right?
Oh yeah. And
it's
that tick's just
go
like,
find
right
someone.
On, let's go.
Next.
Next, exactly. They're hard to kill. And I have a little video that says how you can kill them, but put them in alcohol.
Yeah.
But, and wait, don't stick them in water. Those buggers, they'll live. They'll figure out a way. They can live up for months. But you put them in alcohol and that should kill them by end of day, because we were at the lab there a few months ago, and Dr. Ferrone, Nicoletta, she put him in. She was showing us what she was doing with the ticks. Mm-hmm. When she was done, she has this little vial of alcohol she puts them in. And we're talking, and I'm looking at that vial maybe 20 minutes later, and the freaking ticks are
still
walking
going.
Around on the bottom of the alcohol. Like, oh my God.
Like, for seriously though, I mean.
And then they've been around for millions of years.
Yeah.
Because you look at the, I don't know if you heard of the caveman, Otzi.
No.
Anyway, he's one of the oldest cavemen they found.
Okay.
And he had Lyme disease.
Really?
Yep.
I suppose they can tell.
Yeah, they can test it. And then you find ticks in amber that date back for I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean, ticks are not new. They've outlived us. They've outlived the dinosaurs. Like, they've outlived, I'll say the dinosaurs, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but
they've
been around forever.
They just suck.
They do.
I've said that many times.
They truly do. And I joke because I say, you know, we know how to, a lot of hikers know how to deal with a bear. I remember learning that when I was younger and hiked a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know how to deal with a tick?
Most people probably have
probably
no
not.
Idea. No.
You know, they don't really know. Okay, what do I do if a tick attacks me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and freezing it, does that work? Like, because I know when we sent ours off to get tested, I think they said put it in a Ziploc bag, put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
And like, but you know, it's been in there for days, if not weeks. And of course, I think it's dead after that.
I think so. I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me they come back from
seriously
from being frozen.
Yeah.
These things, like, you've almost got to like hit them with a hammer.
I'll light them on fire.
Yeah.
No, I'm not promoting that.
No,
especially
no.
not.
And if anyone's got a problem with humanitarian treatment of ticks, don't bother listening to this or any other
one. No, that's right.
Because you're not going to get any sympathy here. They're just terrible. They're just absolutely terrible. It's so frustrating. But I can't remember where I saw her. It was probably Lunenburg or my home base. And I'm like, yep, didn't even question it.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been $100 a bottle. I'm like, yep, we're going to. And it's not, by the way.
No. but.
And, we'll do it. Whether it, at the time we're like, whether this works or not, we're going to try it. And, I'm not trying to, exaggerate anything. But since we've put it on, mm-hmm. I don't recall us having any, noticeably around our legs or, because we're usually spraying our shoes and the bottom part of our legs. It's just been like, the in-law's dog or one of the kids will run off into the grass or something and you end up finding one that way. But
when your dog goes out to pee, it's like, when I first wake up in the morning, and I should be, but there'll be times where I just open that door and I let my dog out to go pee.
Oh yeah.
Not even, because you're half awake and then in she comes with little ticks on her. It's like, oh my God, that's right. It's this time of year again. And
what I can't believe how small some of them are.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Even people
we know that have pulled ticks off their children, even the small ones, like we've seen those crazy, crazy tiny, with a naked eye, you can't even see the legs.
Yeah, no, you can't. Yeah.
And I know we've pulled a couple of those off, one of our sons and a friend's daughter. And it's just like not even a poppy seed. People say a poppy seed. Poppy seeds are bigger than this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Once you do find one, you say you recommend a certain kind of removal kit.
It's really important to remove it properly.
Yeah.
So you should have the right tools. You'll find things online where they say tick twisters.
Right.
Never twist a tick.
Okay.
There's just more updated ways to remove a tick than that. So you use the little, we've got a little keychain thing, so you can just attach it to your keychain. Oh, do you?
Yeah, right, I've got it right here.
We've got the tick spoon, the tick scoop, the tick picks, which are the keychain, well, now they're keychain ones.
That one?
Yeah, there's a tick key. Yeah, but you can use that too.
I'm not sure that would work on the really small ones.
Probably not.
Because it's not very, it's still pretty thick. Anyway,
yeah, it'll work. Yeah, no, I'm looking at that.
It's
probably not.
Regular
size tick.
Size tick, no problem. It'll pull them off. But again, if you're doing that, a lot of people are just, removing it and flinging the tick away. So you definitely want to hang on to it.
In this little tick kit we got the tick picks, and then we also have the pointy tweezers, because you should never use the flat tweezers, because that could squeeze stuff back into your system. So once you remove that tick in the kit, we also have the little vial.
Yeah.
So you can just, if you're out hiking, you just stick it in the vial, close her up, and ship it off to Vet Lloyd or whoever. Yeah, or experiment with it and throw it in your freezer, see if it comes back to life.
just don't lose it in the house.
No. No, exactly.
So, one last thing. Time of year seems to be changing. Obviously with our weather, right now, it's it feels like well into spring out there, and it's just the beginning. I know people who have found ticks on themselves and their dogs in December, January. Doesn't seem like it's any longer just a spring summer.
That's right.
Problem.
Well, interestingly enough, we really start to see it in spring. Mm-hmm. Summer, we don't seem to see it as much, whether we're at the beaches more or it's hotter out or whatever the reason. And then in the fall, those buggers are active again.
Yeah.
And then in the winter time, if it hits 4 degrees or above, they're out. Unless they're piled, but we don't get the snow anymore where it's piled up high all the time.
So
if you got a little bit of a clearing and it's above 4 degrees, those little things are out. So if you send your dog out to pee, or your cat, I hear a lot about cats because they're everywhere, and they get into everything, and people are pulling them off. And I feel bad because I was on the Sheldon McLeod show the other day, and he was saying, this time of year we probably don't have to worry. And I said, probably not, but what I should have said was, no, not on the 0 degree below days, but as soon as you get, I would even be cautious above zero, because I'm sure that tick's not going there saying, hold on, boys, it's only 3 degrees out.
Right, and it's nice and moist.
Yeah.
Look at all the days we've had in the last month. Even a month ago, we had days like today where it was plus 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
It's really unfortunate because it does make you nervous to go outside. Mm-hmm. But I mean, really, if you're taking all your precautions, mm-hmm. you should be more or less okay.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we can't isolate ourselves.
No, and you know, when we first moved down here and we first started finding them, that was the reaction. It was
yeah.
like, we can't even go outside anymore, you know, unless it's at the beach or...
Yeah.
But no, we've since come around, and bottom line, tick checks. I mean,
yeah,
you just have to.
It's throw just, your clothes in the dryer. If yeah. you're out for a big hike or you're fishing, mm-hmm. come back in, you're doing your tick check, but throw your clothes in the, your dry clothes in yeah. the dryer, yeah. put it on high heat for 10 to 20 minutes. Yeah. I would do 20.
Yeah.
And if you have dryer balls,
right,
throw
yeah.
those in, because that'll help separate the clothes to get into the heat can get into the creases.
Because
as you know, they're super small. They could be anywhere, right? Yeah. And then that's another way to kill. High heat kills ticks.
High heat.
But dryer high heat.
Yeah, know? Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, I just when I was getting excited about going outside in the new fishing season, but that's cool. No, I'm glad that you guys have your stuff going and things are going in the right direction. And
yeah,
we'll definitely you know, reach out again maybe as things get more ahead with the new 97%.
Yeah, product.
But even you know, I'm speaking from personal experience. I would recommend. You know, that people use what you have now, because I've had good luck with it. So
yeah.
Anyway, thanks for taking the time out of your day, and hopefully we'll be a little less ticky this year.
Thanks for having me on the show, because it's really important. The more we talk about it, the more people hear about it, the more they're aware.
Right.
So things like this is fantastic. I really appreciate it.
Good. Thank you. I just wanted to take a minute and thank Lisa again for taking the time to tell me about her company. I wanted to share that with you. It's always good to hear of a small business that's actually making a change and growing. And I really do think they're onto something potentially huge. I mean, you know, anytime you can solve a problem, you know, you can base a good business off that. And as far as I can tell, ticks and Lyme disease are one of the most significant problems that we have as outdoor people in this region. So, so if you want to check out the show notes for this episode, just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/030. I also have links to Atlantic on there, their Facebook page, their website. And please, if you enjoyed this episode, like, subscribe, share, however you're listening to this, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or YouTube or whatever it is, every little bit helps. And we thank you for listening, and I look forward to bringing you the next episode. So take care, stay safe. Enjoy the time that you have indoors with your family and your loved ones, or outdoors in your isolation techniques out there. So take care, and we'll see you on the next episode.